Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of The Lore Keeper, where I, Jamie Pelican, will be going over everything related to the fantasy genre, movies, books, music, video games, anything related to the fantasy genre I will be covering, and I'll be giving you guys my top picks for each section. Today, in the first episode, I will be going over two of my favorite fantasy books, The Lies of Locke Lamora by Scott Lynch and The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Now, I want to clarify something, that this podcast will mainly be dealing with elements of high fantasy rather than urban fantasy, as seen by the works of Neil Gaiman and other types of fantasy, but I want to be specifically dealing in high fantasy, since the aspect of being in a completely different world and immersing yourself in new places, new cultures, new characters, new everything is just so awesome to me. That's just one of the reasons why I love fantasy, so I want to be sharing those things with you guys, my listeners, on this podcast. So let's dive into the first book that we're going to be going over, which is The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Now, The Name of the Wind was published in 2007, and since then it has garnered something of a cult following, and Patrick Rothfuss spent 15 years before it was published working on it. That just shows this man's dedication to this book. He didn't want it published until he thought it was an absolute perfection. And when he did publish it, everyone went crazy. It's a really good book, highly recommend. And I'm going to be giving a summary of it. This summary is on Goodreads. And told in Quoth's own words, this is the tale of the magically gifted young man who grows to be the most notorious wizard his world has ever seen. The intimate narrative of his childhood in a trope of traveling players, his years spent as a near feral orphan in a crime-ridden city, his daringly brazen yet successful bid to enter a legendary school of magic, and his life as a fugitive after the murder of a king form a gripping coming-of-age story unrivaled in recent literature. A high-action story written with a poet's hand, The Name of the Wind is a masterpiece that will transport readers into the body and mind of a wizard. That review was from Goodreads again. Now, just from the summary, we can already tell that this is going to be centered around the life of Quoth'y, and it goes from his childhood into his adolescence and even into his adulthood, because the tale starts off as a narrative coming from Quoth'y himself that he's telling a scribe who arrived at his inn one day, and that just really gives it a very immersive feeling, because you feel that you're right there in the inn listening to an adult Quoth'y talk about his childhood and his coming of age story, and that just makes for an excellent story experience. Now, one of Patrick Rothfuss's strong points, I would say, is that he is an excellent wordsmith. All throughout The Name of the Wind, you can find symbolism, allegories, beautiful sentences that just pop out of the page as if they were written by a master author, which Rothfuss definitely ranks among one of the best fantasy authors of this century. And his book really helps portray his talent and his love of wordsmithing onto the page, and it just makes for an excellent read. Another cool factor of The Name of the Wind is that it's a very well thought out story with a very good premise. Now, I know that sounds like really cliche, like, of course it has a good premise, why else would I be talking about it? And just one of the things that makes it an excellent story is that it's relatable. It's about this young boy with aspirations bigger than he can possibly imagine, and how he goes through trial after trial to reach these goals and get an education and just persevere. It also has a layer of mystery to it, and I don't want to spoil it too much, but let's just say something tragic happens in his youth, which causes him to start this journey of self-exploration and knowledge, and it really just helps set the story up for an excellent coming-of-age tale. Now, one of the things that's really interesting is that Patrick Rothfuss took the route of telling a story of a young boy, and while that is kind of cliche within the fantasy genre, Rothfuss does it in such a way where you feel like you're reading this cliche for the first time. It comes off as so novel, so fresh, just the way he immerses you into the world and into the life of Quoth'y, because you feel like you are right there in the thick of things with the action, and it is fantastic. Like, when you start this book, you will not put it down. When I read it the first time, I read 100 pages in one afternoon. And let me tell you guys, I normally do not do that. It takes me forever to get through some books sometimes. And I love reading. I just get distracted really easily. But this book, I was so engrossed and engaged in the storyline that I just had to keep reading it, because each chapter ends and you just want to get to the next chapter. It's like on Netflix when it just starts the autoplay for you, just like, okay, like, this is it, this is my afternoon. And that's exactly what those chapters in The Name of the Wind will do for you. Another excellent feature of The Name of the Wind is that you are connected to the characters. Rothfuss really knows how to write dimensional dynamic characters who make mistakes and live in the gritty of life. They're not perfect by any means, and that's what makes a good story. I had an English teacher tell me that there can be no plot without conflict, and let me tell you, these characters are engaged in so much conflict. It's just like if a friend was telling you about like their day and all the problems they had. That's exactly what it kind of feels like when you're reading this book and Quothie's talking about all of these things. You feel right there and you're very connected to these characters because they're so realistic and well written that they feel like real people. I mean, like, by all means, they are real people and characters, and he just really knows how to write dynamic characters that the reader will fall in love with. I mean, Quothie, he is talented but arrogant, friendly but aloof, and he's extremely problematic, but he's like the problematic favorite character because he just makes so many mistakes, but you can't help but rooting for him because he just accepts and grows from those mistakes like you would hope a character, especially one that is coming of age. And I think that's what also helps readers connect to the character, because if you've gone through adolescence, you understand the feelings that Quothie is experiencing at that time. And what adds another layer to it is that since, as I mentioned before, and it's an adult Quothie telling the story, he looks back with reflection on his past actions, and a reflection I think that we all can agree with, that he's remorseful for his past actions. He feels regret. He knows he made mistakes. And I think that's what a lot of us feel when we look back on our days as teenagers and even young children. And that also just adds another excellent element of of really just dynamic characters. Now, another thing for the book is that it has excellent world-building skills. The story takes place on the continent of Temerit. I hope I pronounced that right. And this world feels alive. From page one, you are engrossed in this new continent, and each chapter adds another layer of world-building that just makes this world come to life off the pages. In my opinion, what makes a really good world-building story is that you learn something new, like, as the book goes on about the world. Like, they just don't dump all the information. Like, here's the basics of the world, now go on and read. They have it come to life through everyday actions, such as how a village works, and what gods do they worship, and how does the military happen, and passing rumors of politics. And that's exactly what Rothfuss does in his book, and it just makes it come to life because you're learning about the world through snippets, like how you would learn about things from this world. And I think that's just really powerful in a storytelling element, because there's always that old adage of show, don't tell, and Rothfuss definitely engages in that when he writes The Name of the Wind. Now, just to make the book seem even more appealing, I'm going to read a review now from Barnes & Noble. The review goes and says, "The Name of the Wind is a tale filled with wit, humor, and danger. And if it sometimes lacks the complexity epic addicts have been trained to expect from Martin, the loss is trifling. This is a refreshingly different epic, the most first-person narration creating a sense of intimacy and comfort, reminding us that you don't necessarily have to dig down into the raw neurosis of a character or an entire cast in order to find yourself deeply moved. Rothfuss himself, with his poetic prose and deeply empathetic pathetic vision of a world out of time earns a legitimate comparison to Tolkien. Now, just after that review is exactly how I feel about the book, and I would highly recommend it. It's The Name of the Winds by Patrick Rothfuss. Now, the second book I'm going to be talking about is The Lies of Loch Lomora by Scott Lynch. And before I dive into the specifics of the book, I just have to say that this, since I read it like 4 years ago when I was a junior in high school, I have been in love with this world, this series, this author. After I read like the first 30 pages of this book, I knew that Scott Lynch was like one of my new top like five favorite authors of all time. He is so good. This book is so good. I cannot recommend it enough. And I'm going to start by giving a summary of the book. This summary comes from Goodreads, and it goes and states, "An orphan's life is harsh and often short in the mysterious island of Comore. But young Loch Lomora dodges death and slavery, becoming a thief under the tutelage of a gifted con artist. As leader of the band of Lightfinger brothers known as the Gentlemen Bastards, Loch is soon infamous, fooling even the underworld's most feared ruler. But in the shadows lurks someone still more ambitious and deadly. Faced with a bloody coup that threatens to destroy everyone and everything that holds meaning in his mercenary life, Loch vows to beat the enemy at his own brutal game or die trying." Now, that summary gives a pretty good adage without giving anything away to what the book entails, as it said that it is about a thief. And while that seems like kind of overdone, the way Lynch presents this world and presents Loch in particular, the main character, is just fantastic. The book starts in like the middle of an action scene. You just are thrusted right into the action, and from there you're just moved into this tale of deceit and treachery, and you really get to know the underbelly of Comore's scum life, basically. And it's just so good. One of the things is that it has a unique plot and premise, and basically it's interesting because it introduces con artistry, which is a new concept in Comore. And it's like if Ocean's 11 was like set in a fantasy world. It's excellent. The cons are well thought out and witty, and you are just thrown right into the middle of the action as if they just picked you off the street and said, "Hey, you're gonna help us do this con on these rich people." And I think that is excellent way to engage the reader. And like The Name of the Wind, I couldn't put this book down when I was reading it because every page is action-packed, witty, humorous, and just overall engaging and moving. And each chapter adds something new and unique to the story, and it's always moving forward, and it's just so quick paced that like you will like read it in like 2 days. It's so good. Another thing that really stands out with Lynch's writing style is how witty and humorous it is, because I mean the main characters are thieves, so they're not going to have the elegance or eloquence of Patrick Rothfuss's Name of the Winds, because quoth he was an academic. These guys are part of the underbelly of society. There's cursing, there is vulgar metaphors, and just like everything you could expect, and it's done so beautifully. I mean, that's really weird to say about things like that, but it just is, because that adds another element to what the story is really about. And it really helps add like an element of realism there, because he knows how to portray characters in different ways that will keep the reader engaged. Now, another thing is that this book, and I am, in my personal opinion, more so than Rothfuss's, contains even better world building. Because every time I reread The Lies of Loch Lomora, I notice something new and unique about the world of Comore and just the world it's on. Because he just adds in those subtle details, and he does it in a way where it doesn't break up the story, because he'll talk about a scene and then he'll describe the surroundings, and it just all flows so beautifully, which I think is what you need in like world building. Because in my opinion, like the way he does it is like the standard for how people should incorporate world building into their reading, because you can tell that he has all the information in his head, but he just puts it in a way that is so eloquent and moving and engaging, and you feel like you're there in the moment that you're looking at these buildings, learning about this society. And to me, that's what I really love about fantasy, is that it transports you to another world, and Lynch's writing style does that 100%. Without a doubt, he is a master world builder, and I love, that's one of my favorite aspects of the book. Like The Name of the Wind, The Lies of Locke Lamora is part of a series, and honestly, I love this series so much, I'll probably do a separate episode about the Gentleman Bastard series, because the two books, Red Skies, and The Republic of Thieves, they're just so good, because usually, like, the first book, if it's a smash, then you can expect, like, mediocrity from the second one. That is the exact opposite. Like, you delve deeper into the world, deeper into the characters, and even though they're thieves, these characters are extremely moving. You will cry, you will laugh. They're so dynamic and diverse and deep, and Locke, as a true thief, he has secrets that he doesn't even realize. And it's just so powerful when he comes to terms with what he is and his personality. And he's one of the most unique characters, I think, in fantasy literature today. And anyone who likes con artistry, or honestly is just a fan of high fantasy in general, I would highly recommend this book. Now, to end this podcast, to end this section of the podcast, I'm going to read a review of The Lies of Locke Lamora. Now, this review is unique because it's by Patrick Rothfuss, the author of The Name of the Wind I was talking about. And this is from Goodreads, and these are just excerpts from his review. He begins with, "This last week, I started rereading Lies, and I was absolutely stunned by how good it is. The construction of it, the language, the world, the cleverness, the wit. Right now, in the full flesh of this second reading, I think Lies is probably in my top 10 favorite books ever. Maybe my top 5. He then goes on to list 3 reasons why, how The Lies of Locke Lamora is better than his own book, which is just so compelling. He goes on and states, "The beginning of his book is stronger than mine. Seriously, 50 pages into my book, you'll have reached the point where someone is starting to actually tell a story. 50 pages into Lies, you know the main character and are halfway into a heist. His title is better than mine. Don't get me wrong, The Name of the Wind is a good title. It's the right title for my book. But The Lies of Locke Lamora, that's a Fubu title right there. 3, his cussing is better than mine. Not in real life. In real life, I cuss like a sailor. But the language in my books is pretty genteel and tame. In Lies, Lynch's low-life street thugs are Bulgarian virtuosos. This might seem like a little thing, but it's not. It builds the world. It shows character. It helps make the story feel truly, perfectly grubby and real." And honestly, I couldn't agree more with Rothfuss's review of the book. Everything he said is just spot on, and this book is one of my personal favorites, and I would highly recommend it. Now, I'm going to end this podcast by giving a comparison of the two books. Now, The Name of the Wind, this one has more literary merit, just as I said. Rothfuss is a master wordsmith. But it does have a slower plot, so if you want something that's quick and engaging and action-packed, then this book might not be for you. But if you want something that is thought-provoking, I mean, not to say that The Lies of Locke Lamora isn't, but he just has such a slow, like, plot build, and it's in, like, mystery and just really filled with, like, details about everything, and just it's told from a very, like, intellectual place. And if you want something like that, then The Name of the Wind is for you. In comparison, The Lies of Locke Lamora is fast-paced, it is witty, it is quick, it is full of intelligence, but one that is, like, just bang right off the bat, just, like, quips everywhere. It is thought-provoking in its own right, just how the characters interact and behave with one another. And in my opinion, The Lies of Locke Lamora has a better world building, just from the language he uses, the characters he develops, and just how he gives details of the world of Kamor, and how he just incorporates that into the overall text structure. So those are my two book recommendations for high fantasy literary books. The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss and The Lies of Locke Lamora by Scott Lynch. And if you guys need something to read, you want to get deeper into the fantasy genre, like you read Lord of the Rings, but you're just itching for more, both of these books deserve a read. Like, they're amazing. And I guarantee that after reading the first chapter, you will be engaged. And this concludes the first episode of The Lore Keeper. Bye.